الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، we continue with the tafsir of Sheikh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di rahmatullahi alayh, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been facilitating our affairs so much so that we are at verse 222 of Surah Al-Baqarah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ويسألونك عن المحيض قل هو أذى فاعتزلوا النساء في المحيض ولا تقربوهن حتى يطهرن فإذا تطهرن فأتوهن من حيث أمركم الله إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين نساؤكم حرث لكم فأتوا حرثكم أنى شئتم وقدموا لأنفسكم واتقوا الله واعلموا أنكم ملاقوه وبشر المؤمنين. عبد العزيز please.
He asked me concerning this way and say that it's a matter of apart for the things for us and the subject for the devotion for the one but it is then in heaven. Therefore take away from them and bring message to them that they are purified. And when they have purified themselves, and we will give them about 4 days for you. To then anyone has to have this end in their life. So it's about us also turning in repentance and love. Those who purify themselves, they take them about and give them the security every part of the life.
Continue.
The wise are best for you. When or how we live, then we need to have a thought for our needs and our lives. We will only let you hear about it and know that you are our needs. We tell them to hear it and
know that. The word harf, how is it, what was the spelling? Your wives are a? For you? T-I-L-T?
Yes.
Oh, jazakallahu khair. طيب يقول الشيخ رحمه الله يخبر تعالى عن سؤالهم عن المحيض وهل تكون المرأة بحالها بعد المحيض كما كانت قبل ذلك. Allah Azza wa Jal informs us concerning a question about menstruation. And is it that the woman in the state of menstruation similar to the state prior to menstruation? أم تجتنب مطلقا كما يفعله اليهود؟ Or is she to be avoided completely as the Jews used to do? And in fact, the du'at usually make it a point when it comes to the comprehensiveness of Islam, the fact that it is a religion which is applicable to all people until the Day of Judgment, is that we have two opposite extremes, the Jews and the Christians. The Jews, if their wives were on her menstrual cycle, would not even eat with her. They would force her to go to the basement and they would eat on their own because they consider the woman in a state of menstruation. You know, this is the epitome of defilement or whatever. So they don't even approach her, not even eat with her. On the other hand, the Christians, you know, the Christians make no distinction between anything. And everything goes all the time, 24-7. They could care less about, you know, cleanliness or anything of this nature. You know, they have a relation with the woman, whether she's menstruating or not. It makes no difference, right? No difference. So these are two opposite extremes. Islam is in the middle. We neither abandon the woman and not even sit with them in the same room and have dinner together, nor do we have relations with them. Rather, it's somewhere in between. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his sunnah, as we will read some and as we know from others, that he would deliberately spend time with his wives, and even hug them and kiss them and things of this nature during their menstruation without going to the extent of having the intercourse. Anyways, the Shaykh says, فَأَخْبَرَ تَعَالَى أَنَّ الْحَيْضَ أَذَى وَإِذَا كَانَ أَذَى فَمِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ أَنْ يَمْنَعَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عِبَادَهُ عَنِ الْأَذَى وَحْدِهِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla informed us that menstruation is harmful. And if it is harmful, which it is, then the wisdom of Allah entails that He prevents His servants from engaging in that which will be harmful to them. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. Therefore, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, so avoid women during their menstruation. What that means, أي مكان الحيض, meaning avoid them in the place where the menstruation takes place, which is their private parts. وهو الوطء في الفرج خاصة فهذا المحرم إجماعا. And it is strictly intercourse. Okay, having intercourse, and I'm not going to explain that. This is what has been forbidden according to ijma'. Who can give us an adequate translation for the word ijma' in English?
Consensus.
Beautiful. Jazakallahu khairan. Consensus. نعم. وتخصيص الاعتزال في المحيض يدل عفوا على أن مباشرة الحائض وملامستها في غير الوطء في الفرج جائز. Furthermore, the fact that Allah specified that we should avoid women in the place of menstruation, which is in their private parts, is an indication that it is allowed to have foreplay or whatever, you know, else we may call it, just loving one another, I guess, physically, and touching her and so forth, as long as their place of menstruation is avoided. لكن قوله ولا تقربوهن حتى يطهرن يدل على ترك المباشرة فيما قرب من الفرج وذلك فيما بين السرة والركبة ينبغي تركه كما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يفعل أو كما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أراد أن يباشر امرأته وهي حائض أمرها أن تتزر فيباشرها. Okay, hello. طيب, the Shaykh said, but the fact that Allah says, so do not come close to them or approach them until they are pure, is an indication that the area, that whole area, should be avoided at the time of, playing with each other. and that is the area between the navel and the knee. Or they call it belly button. Or the navel, you know, that hole you have in the middle of your stomach. And your knee. This is why the Prophet ﷺ used to, whenever he wanted to, approach one of his wives, walaikum salam, during her menstruation, he will command her to wear an izar, which is a lower garment that is usually tied around the waist, wherein the that area is covered. And then he عليه الصلاة والسلام will approach his wife. وحد هذا الاعتزال وعدم القربان للحيض حتى يطهرن. And the limit for that avoiding or abandonment remains until the menstruation is over, meaning until they are in a state of purity. أي ينقطع دمهن, so that their blood desists from flowing. Not in their body, that is. Meaning flowing out on, out of her body. Hey, just in case you were referred to die. That doesn't work. وعدم القربان. فإذا قطع الدم زال المنع الموجود ووقت جريانه. So if the blood desists, then زال المنع. So then that prevention is removed. And everything goes back to normal. الذي كان لحله شرطان, انقطاع الدم والاغتسال منه. And there are two conditions actually for that purification to be established. One, that the وعليكم السلام blood no longer, is coming out of her. Secondly, that she does غسل. Ghusl is like what? Showering. Right? When a woman showers completely before a man. So even if her menstruation is over, but she doesn't shower, still no relation. Okay? She has to, her period has to end, and then she has to make ghusl, then she becomes lawful back to her husband. فلما قطع الدم زال الشرط الأول. So when the blood stops flowing, the first condition is gone. وبقي الثاني, and the second remains. فلهذا قال فإذا تطهرن أي اغتسلن. So that's what Allah says. So if they تطهرن, if they purify themselves, meaning by showering, فأتوهن من حيث أمركم الله. So then approach them from where Allah has commanded you. أي في القبل لا في الدبر لأنه محل الحرث. Meaning in the vagina, sorry for the terminology, and not in the in the anus, 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 not in the anus, because the former is the place for your tilth, which is where you, it's like a vegetation, right? You put in your seed, this is where stuff grows, this is where children come. The other place is nasty, filthy, and obviously no need to elaborate. It's haram, just if, in case anyone didn't know here, it's haram for a man to have anal intercourse with his wife. Totally haram. And actually the narrations are very, very stern concerning this issue. على كل حال وفيه دليل على وجوب الاغتسال للحائض وإن انقطاع الدم وأن مفروض this should be وأن it's here Hamza on the bottom, it should be وأن انقطاع الدم شرط لصحته. Anyways, and there's an evidence here that about the obligation of showering for the menstruating woman, and that is known once the blood is no longer coming out of her. This is how we know that her hide or menstruation is over. ولما كان هذا المنع لطفا منه تعالى بعباده وصيانة عن الأذى. Now when this prohibition from Allah was actually due to Allah's kindness towards the slaves and due to him wanting to protect them from harm. قال تعالى إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين أي من ذنوبهم على الدوام. Meaning المتوابين, those who are continuously repenting, because تائب is a repenting person. تواب indicates abundance, right? So he's always repenting. Every time he sins, he goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ويحب المتطهرين أي المتنزهين عن الآثام وهذا يشمل التطهر الحسي من الأنجاس والأحداث ففيه مشروعية الطهارة مطلقا. طيب, meaning what is intended by Allah loves those who purify themselves. He says those who avoid sins, because that's a form of purifying what? The soul. Purifying the soul. قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. طيب, وهذا يشمل التطهر الحسي من الأنجاس والأحداث. So that includes purifying oneself physically from anjas, all kinds of filthy things, wal ahdath, that which nullifies one's wudu, right? Defecating, urinating, gas, and sleeping, and so on and so forth. فبيه مسرعية الطهارة مطلقا. In that there's an evidence for ablution or purification, period. لأن الله تعالى يحب المتصف بها, because Allah loves the one who has such attribute. The one who has the attribute of being in a state of purity is loved by Allah. ولهذا كانت الطهارة مطلقا شرطا لصحة الصلاة والطواف وجواز مس المصحف. This is why being in a state of tahara is a condition for the validity of the prayer, for the tawaf, the circumambulation around the Kaaba, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and holding the mushaf, he's here, and holding the mushaf, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. جيد. ويشمل التطهر المعنوي عن الأخلاق الرذيلة والصفات القبيحة والأفعال الخسيسة. And included in that purification is the abstract one, the intangible, which is purifying oneself from evil character, from ugly or reprehensible attributes or characteristics, and silly actions, right? You know, avoiding all that. طيب. So the following verse says, نساؤكم حرث لكم فأتوا حرثكم أن شئتم مقبلة ومدبرة غير أنه لا يكون إلا في القبل لكونه موضع الحرث وهو الموضع الذي يكون منه الولد. Man, I don't know how your brother is going to accept. I mean, anyways. طيب. So your women are tilled for you. So approach that however you wish. Mukbila or mudbira, meaning while you are on top, I mean facing you, while she's facing you, or while she has, you know, well, they have different names for it today, but I'm not really going to go there, right? Man, you know, hold on, man, this is recorded. A woman eventually listened to this on the internet. So I'm not going to really... I don't want to be going out there, man. Anyways, you know what I'm saying, brothers? If you're not married, I'm sorry. You know, next time ask me what is the subject of the class before you come. Now, so anyways, front or back, but of course meaning in the same area, but you know, regardless of the position. There's nothing actually, Islam, that restricts the position. Right, because the Yahud used to say, if someone was to approach his wife from the back, then the son, the child that they will have will be cross-eyed.
Yes.
Right, and they were concerned about that. So they said this to the Prophet ﷺ, and it was revealed to him, as you see here, that makes no difference. However you approach, it doesn't matter as long as it is the private part, the legitimate one.
Yes.
Now, جيد, because this is a place where children are produced. وفيه دليل على تحريم الوطء في الدبر, and there's an evidence about the prohibition of anal intercourse. لأن الله لم يبح إتيان المرأة إلا في الموضع الذي منه الحد, because Allah did not allow that a woman is to be approached in this fashion except from the place where there's the production of children. وقد تكاثرت الأحاديث عفوا عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في تحريم ذلك ولعن فاعله, and actually the narrations are numerous and abundant from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم indicating the prohibition of anal intercourse and the curse upon the one who engages in that particular act. وقدموا لأنفسكم أي من التقرب إلى الله بفعل الخيرات ومن ذلك أن يباشر الرجل امرأته ويجامعها على وجه القربة والاحتساب وعلى رجاء تحصيل الذرية الذي ينفع الله بهم أو بهم. And put forth for yourselves, meaning the Shaykh says, meaning try to draw near to Allah by doing good deeds. And included in that is a man having sexual relations with his wife with the intent to draw near to Allah and seek reward from Allah, hoping that he will have thereof righteous children whom Allah will benefit with, you know, the people with these children. And you know, the Sahaba, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that, you know, one will get reward for having relations with his wife. They said, O Messenger of Allah, one of us will attain his, you know, sexual pleasure and climax, and then will be rewarded for that. He said, do you see if he had placed it in something haram, would it not be sinful? He said, yes. He said, then placing it in halal is rewarding. So actually one should get, you know, should establish this intention prior to having relations with one's wife, that I am trying to protect myself from zina and my wife, and I'm trying to seek Allah's pleasure by fulfilling her rights and mine, and trying to have children who are, you know, inshallah, righteous in the process, and so on and so forth, as opposed to just turning it into the, you know, straight animalistic approach. Let's add the, you know, the ibadah, where everything becomes ibadah, even drinking water, eating food, going to the bathroom, and having relations with one's wife. It all has to do with intentions. طيب. واتقوا الله أي في جميع أحوالكم كونوا ملازمين لتقوى الله مستعينين على ذلك بعلمكم أنكم ملاقوه ومجازيكم على أعمالكم الصالحة وغيرها. طيب, we have explained many times before the definition of the word taqwa, and perhaps it is suitable today to hear it from one of the brothers who can give us an adequate comprehensive definition of the word taqwa. God consciousness, good. Anything else? Fear of Allah. Tayyib. Can you give us a sentence? I mean, what does it really boil down to, as they say? What is the bottom line of it?
All your actions should be governed by the fact that Allah is, you know, watching what you're doing.
Okay, good. Can we also say, as some of the ulama put it, doing everything that Allah commanded and staying away from everything Allah forbade? Really, that's what it is at the end of the day. That's taqwa. You know, doing what is obligatory and avoiding the prohibitions. Then we can add and, you know, delete accordingly. Jazakallah khairan for this correct translation for the word. Tayyib. So have taqwa of Allah in all of your affairs. And the Shaykh says, and be consistent. And Allah is telling us basically, and be consistent in your taqwa of Allah. Seeking aid in that, by knowing that you shall be meeting Allah, or you shall meet Allah, and then He will reckon you for your deeds, whether righteous or otherwise. ثم قال وبشر المؤمنين and give glad tidings to the believers. لم يذكر المبشر به لدليل يدل على العموم. Allah did not mention what is it that they should receive as glad tidings in order to indicate encompassment. Basically, if Allah had said and give glad tidings to the believers that they shall have a good life, then the glad tidings will be restricted to the good life per the condition in the verse. However, if Allah says وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ and give glad tidings to the believers, and He didn't specify with what, that means everything. Right? It includes everything that could be means of the believers rejoicing, then it is included in this particular statement. وَأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, that to them belongs the good tidings or the glad tidings in the life of this world and in the life to come. وَكُلُّ خَيْرٍ وَاندِفَاعٍ كُلُّ ضَيْرٍ رُتِّبَ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ فَهُوَ دَاخِلٌ فِي هَذِهِ الْبِشَارَةِ. So every good deed and every avoidment of evil or harm that is a consequence of this iman is included in this glad tiding. وفيها محبة الله للمؤمنين ومحبة ما يسرهم واستحباب تنصيتهم وتسويقهم بما عد الله لهم من الجزاء الدنيوي والأخروي. And included in that is the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal, His love, Allah is establishing or explaining or showing us the love which He has for the believers and the love He has for facilitating affairs for them, and how He tries to encourage us and make us, you know, look forward to do good deeds by telling us what He has prepared for us in terms of reward, whether in this world or in the life to come. Verse 224, وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا اللَّهَ عُرْضَةً لِأَيْمَانِكُمْ أَن تَبَرُّوا وَتَتَّقُوا وَتُصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. 224 please. عبد الهادي.
Admit not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and excuse in your oaths against your doing good and acting piously, and meet in peace among mankind, and Allah is all here, all knower.
جزاك الله خيرا. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله المقصود من اليمين والقسم تعظيم المقسم به وتأكيد المقسم عليه.
Alaska?
Yes. الله يصلحك يا شيخ. You're in Saudi Arabia, you're going to compare it to Alaska here, man, because you have an air condition above your head. You're sitting in the wrong place, that's all. It's not too cold. But anyways, we'll go back to the desk. After 10 minutes, you turn it on, inshallah. طيب. The Shaykh said, what is intended by oath or yameen is to glorify, magnify, and extol the one who is sworn by, and that which is sworn on. I hope that English makes sense. So basically what is intended here, when you say, I swear by Allah that I didn't do this, you're trying to establish two things. First, the importance of the one you're swearing by, right? Allah. This is showing you how valuable that is to you, right? Glorifying. Second, you're trying to show the emphasis that you're being truthful, right? I swear by Allah, I didn't do it, meaning believe me. So you try to emphasize the greatness of the one you're swearing by and the reality and the truthfulness of your statement. Is that clear? Now of course, now can you swear by other than Allah?
No.
Can you swear by your mustache?
No.
I don't have one, but usually people, you know, swear by their mustache or by their beard. I don't know what kind of nonsense people come up with. In different countries, actually this is very cultural. Depending on the culture, some people swear with their lives. وحياتك, or by your life, and this is yani supposed to be romantic or something, right? It's shirk, right? It's romantic shirk, or shirk romantic, however you want to call it, but it is not allowed to swear by your life or your, you know, your wife's life or your mother's life or your father's life or nobody's life. You either swear by Allah or you be quiet. That's what Prophet said, من كان حالفا فليحلف بالله أو ليصمت. Whoever wants to swear, let him swear by Allah or be quiet, remain silent, don't say anything, right? But can Allah, what about Allah? What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Does He swear?
Yeah. Yeah.
He swears?
Nice.
With what? Or by what?
With
So then, okay, so Allah has the right to swear by everything, but we don't have the right to swear except by Allah. Good. That did Allah swear by anyone's life?
Yes, because it's only from His permission.
No. Don't get philosophical now, Abdul Hadi. We're asking for something direct. Did Allah swear by anyone's life?
Yeah.
Yes, who? Where?
I don't remember.
It's in the Quran, ya akhwan. La'amruka innahum fi sakratihim. Right? I don't remember the last word. Allah swore in the Quran. I could pull it up for you before we finish. Allah swore by your life, O Muhammad. He's speaking about the people of Lut, that they are still in the state of drunkenness because of their, a'udhu billah, their deviance. Ya'mahoon. إنهم في سكرتهم يعمون أو كما قال. Let me go back to the verse. But لعمرك, this is for sure in the book of Allah. Allah swearing عمر is one's lifespan, and Allah swore by that of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم لعمرك. And this has never happened to anyone but Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. This shows you the importance, because they say, the ulama, Allah does not swear by anything unless it is great. Allah said it's something great. Allah swears by that which is great. So anytime Allah swore by the layl, awal shams, al qamar, it's because of their greatness, the great signs of Allah. So He swore by the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indicating the greatness of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Good answer, my brother. Alhamdulillah, there is no reward I can give you, but inshallah Allah may give you a reward. Now, so this is the intended. وكان الله تعالى قد أمر بحفظ الأيمان وكان مقتضى ذلك حفظها في كل شيء. And Allah Azza wa Jalla had previously commanded that we should withhold on these oaths, that we should maintain them, fulfill them, keep them. And this was part of that. This entailed that. ولكن الله تعالى استثنى من ذلك إذا كان البر باليمين يتضمن ترك ما هو أحب إليه. However, even though Allah had made it obligatory on us to fulfill our oaths, if you make an oath, then you should fulfill it. Allah Azza wa Jalla has made an exception. If we were to swear by an oath which included something which Allah loves. So for example, someone swears that he will not do a particular thing which is beloved to Allah, which is beloved to Allah. It's a good act of worship, but he swears he's not going to do it. فَنَهَا عِبَادَهُ أَنْ يَجْعَلُوا أَيْمَانَهُمْ عُرْضَةً أَيْ مَانِعَةً وَحَائِلَةً عَنْ أَنْ يَبُرُّوا أَوْ أَنْ يَفْعَلُوا خَيْرًا وَيَتَّقُوا شَرًّا وَيَصْلُحُوا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. So Allah prohibited them, or prevented His servants, from using that oath as an excuse. Wallahi, I swore by Allah that I will not speak to this brother again. Okay. Are you allowed to abandon your brother? No. You're supposed to speak to him, give him the salam, and return the salam. So, you know, one will say, but I made an oath. And because of the oath, I'm supposed to fulfill the oath, I can no longer speak to him. Allah Azza wa Jal did not allow that. He did not allow that. So do not use that as a mean or excuse to justify you not doing good or avoiding evil and reconciling between the people. فَمَنْ حَلَفَ عَلَى تَرْكِ وَاجِبْ وَجَبَ حِنْثَهُ وَحَرَّمَ إِقَامَتِهِ عَلَى يَمِينِهِ أَوْ وَحِرِّمَ إِقَامَتُهُ عَلَى يَمِينِهِ. If someone swore by Allah that he will abandon an obligation, he must break his oath. He must break his oath, and he is not allowed to maintain his yameen. Somebody said, I'm never going to pray again. Wallahi, I will not pray 5 times a day again. So excuse me, man. You better go back to salah, and you know, you'll do the kafara for your yameen. وَمَنْ حَلَفَ عَلَى تَرْكِ مُسْتَحَبِ اسْتَحَبَّ لَهُ الْحِنْثِ. And whoever swore to leave something recommended, it is recommended for him to abandon that oath of his. وَمَنْ حَلَفَ عَلَى فِعْلِ مُحَرَّمْ وَجَبَ الْحِنْثِ. And whoever swore to do something haram, he must break his oath.
This is mustahab.
Mustahab, recommended. Mustahab, recommended, encouraged, liked, preferred. Meaning it's not an obligation. وأما المباح فينبغي فيه حفظ اليمين عن الحنث. As for things that are allowed, general things, then you are supposed to keep your oath, right? طيب. ويستدل بهذه الآية على القاعدة المشهورة أنه إذا تزاحمت المصالح قدم أهمها. جميل. Now this is what is lovely and very beautiful from our beloved Sheikh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di رحمه الله, that he often hints at the Islamic qawaid or principles, fundamental principles. Because we said before, these principles actually help us understand the deen. So if ever we are in a situation where we have to make a decision, or we have to, you know, we don't have means to get a fatwa, then we use this qawaid so we may better understand. Right? Among these qawaid, qaida mashhura, meaning famous, popular, everybody knows it, we should know it too. If we have tazahum fil masalih, tazahum really, zahma means what? Traffic. What is intended is when we have a number of benefits that are existing simultaneously, we put forth that which is most important. Okay? For instance, you have the benefit of attending a dars of some sheikh, and your mother's in town, right? And now both are benefits. Now which one do you give precedence to?
Your mother,
because attending the dars is an obligation or voluntary. Usually it's voluntary, unless you're a student of knowledge and the ummah is depending on you. And there are times where acquiring knowledge becomes obligatory, but that's another discussion. We're speaking a regular lecture, right? By some speaker, da'iyah, let's not even say a sheikh. Your mother has more of a right. And now, you may be confused, what do I do? Your mother, being dutiful to your mother is an obligation. Attending the dars is rewarding, but it is recommended. Then whenever we have tazahum fil masalih, نقدم أهمها أو أهمها, we give precedence to that which is most important. This is known in English as prioritizing, right? To prioritize.
فهنا تتميم اليمين مصلحة وامتثال أوامر الله في هذه الأشياء مصلحة أكبر من ذلك.
Here we have fulfilling one's oath is a benefit, and obeying Allah's commands in these matters is a benefit which is greater. It's a greater benefit. فقدمت لذلك. So it was given precedence due to that.
ثم قتم الآية بهذين الاسمين الكريمين.
Then Allah concluded the ayah with these two noble names of Allah. والله سميع أي لجميع الأصوات. Allah is all hearing, or the all hearer of all sounds. عليم بالمقاصد والنيات. He knows the intent and the intentions of the people.
ومنه سماعه لأقوال الحالفين وعلمه بمقاصدهم هل هي خير أم شر.
Included is Allah hearing those who swear, those who are making these oaths, and His knowledge of their intent, be it good or evil.
وفي ضمن ذلك التحذير من مجازاته وأن أعمالكم ونياتكم قد استقر علمها عنده.
And included in that is being careful of trying to be negligent of Allah, and that knowing that your deeds and your intentions are Allah's knowledge has encompassed these matters. Istaqarra ilmu and Allah, it's something that is firm, knowledge that is firm with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ثم قال تعالى لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما كسبت قلوبكم والله غفور حليم.
225 please.
Allah did not call you to account for that which is unintentional in your hearts, but He will call you to account for that which your heart has turned. And Allah is not forgiving most forbearing.
بارك الله فيك. أي لا يؤاخذكم بما يجري على ألسنتكم من الأيمان اللاغية التي يتكلم بها العبد من غير قصد منه ولا كسب قلب ولكنها جرت على لسانه كقول الرجل في عرض كلامه أو في عرض كلامه لا والله وبلا والله. طيب. Allah does not hold you accountable for that which runs on your tongues, if you want to put it that way. From the ayman al-laghiya, laghiya is idle, right? So it's like an idle oath. What is intended here is that which you say with your tongue, however you don't mean it in your heart. In the depth of your heart, you don't have the intention to be swearing. However, it is something that is coming among your people.
Wallah, wallah. And you hear this among the Arabs in particular, where every three words there's wallah somewhere. Right? So you know, now these ones, if we were to hold them to account for every wallah he says, then we would be destroyed. Because there's a lot of wallahs in the process. So what is intended here is that the swearing by Allah, where the heart is affirming this, what the tongue is saying. However, a statement of the tongue without the heart being in harmony with that, Allah Azza wa Jalla does not hold us accountable for that. Such as a person saying in a speech, "No by Allah and yes by Allah," وَكَحَلْفِهِ عَلَى أَمْرِ مَاضٍ يَظُنُّ صِدْقَ نَفْسِهِ, or him swearing about something in the past where he thinks he was right. You know, so for example, someone comes to school at 8 o'clock, and he didn't see him, and he'll say, "Wallah, he didn't come at 8. But he did. He just didn't see him. But while he's swearing, even though he's wrong, in his mind, in his heart, he's right. You see what I'm saying? So that's fine. That's excused. وَإِنَّمَا الْمُؤَخَذَ عَلَى مَا قَصَدَهُ الْقَلْبِ وفي هذا دليل على اعتبار المقاصد في الأقوال كما هي المعتبرة في الأفعال. What one will be held accountable for is the intentions of the heart. And in that there's an evidence that we take intentions into consideration when in reference to statements, the same way we do it in reference to actions. The same way actions must have an intention, statements must have an intention. So they're both the same. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ إِلَيْهِ, and Allah is all forgiven to the one who turns to Him in repentance. حَلِيمٌ, He is forbearing. بِمَنْ عَصَاهُ حَيْثُ لَمْ يُعَاجِلُهُ بِالْعُقُوبَةِ, لَمْ يُعَاجِلْهُ بِالْعُقُوبَةِ, He is forbearing against or toward those who disobey Him by not hastening their punishment. بَلْ حَلِمَ عَنْهُ, rather Allah will be forbearing towards him. وَسَتَرْ, and Allah will conceal his fault. وَصَفَحَ مَعْ قُدْرَتِهِ عَلَيْهِ وَكَوْنِهِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ, and Allah will pardon him even though he has ability, he has the ability to seek revenge, and the servant is between Allah's hands in a sense that he has no control of himself, he is under Allah's control in the ultimate sense. Do we have time? للذين وعليكم السلام للذين يؤلون من نسائهم تربص أربعة أشهر فإن فاءوا فإن الله غفور رحيم وإن عزموا الطلاق فإن الله سميع عليم. Someone read kindly interpretation of the meaning in English. 226 and 227. Yes sir.
Those who take an oath that to have sexual relation with their wives must wait for 4 months. Then if they return, change their mind in this period, they really Allah is all forgiving, most merciful.
Time. And continue, and azamu talaq.
And if they decide upon divorce, then Allah is all here, all knowing.
Barakallah feek. وهذا من الايمان الخاصه بالزوجه في امر خاص, وهو حلف الرجل على ترك وطء زوجته مطلقا او مقيدا باقل من 4 أشهر او اكثر. فمن آل من زوجته خاصه فان كان لدون 4 أشهر فهذا مثل سائر الايمان, ان حنث كفر وان اتم يمينه فلا شيء عليه, وليس لزوجتي عليه سبيل لأنه ملكه 4 أشهر. وإن كان أبدا أو مدة تزيد عن 4 أشهر ضربت له مدة 4 أشهر من يمينه إذا طلبت زوجته ذلك لأنه حق لها, فإذا تمت أمر بالفيئة وهو الوطء. طيب, this is a little complicated, so Allah المستعان. This particular oath has specifically to do with the man swearing that he will no longer have sexual relations with his wife, right? Whether it is general, he doesn't specify a time frame, or he does, whether it is less than 4 months or more than that. So whoever has said or sworn that he will not approach his wife, if it is less than 4 months, then it is like the rest of the oaths. If he was to break it, he is supposed to do the kafara. And if he fulfills his oath, then there's nothing on him. He has the right to avoid it for 4 months. And his wife has no right over that, because 4 months is what is established. وإن كان أبدا, and if it was, he said, I'm never going to have sex with you again, right? I don't know what kind of man would do this. Or a duration which goes over 4 months, then he will be given only 4 months, right? And afterwards, he is supposed to have relations with his wife because this is a right which she has. Then if the 4 months are complete, then he is expected to have relations with her again. If he does have relations with her, he's only expected to pay the kafara, which is an expiation for the oath. وَإِنْ امْتَنَعَ أُجْبِرَ عَلَى الطَّلَاقِ عَلَى الطَّلَاقِ. And if he refuses to have relations with her after the passage or the ending of the 4 months, he is obliged to divorce. فإن امتنع طلق عليه الحاكم الحاكم ولكن فيته الرجوع إلى زوجته أحب إلى الله تعالى. But if he refuses to divorce her willingly, then the judge will basically impose this divorce on them. However, him returning to his wife is more beloved to Allah تعالى. ولهذا قال فإن فاءوا meaning أي رجعوا إلى ما حلفوا على تركه وهو الوطء فإن الله غفور يغفر لهم ما حصل منهم من الحلف بسبب رجوعهم رحيم حيث جعل لأيمانهم كفارة وتحلة ولم يجعلها لازمة لهم غير قابلة للانفكاك ورحيم بهم أيضا حيث فاءوا إلى زوجاتهم وحنوا عليهن ورحموهن. If they return, meaning they return from that swearing of theirs or that oath of theirs by abandoning it and then having relations with their wives, then verily Allah is all forgiving. He forgives whatever they have done in terms of swearing, and He will forgive them if they were to go back. Rahim, He is merciful, wherein He did not make their oaths and the expiation for that. ولم يجعلها لازمة لهم غير مقابلة للفكاك. He did not make it binding on them where they're unable to stop it. Meaning when someone will swear and there will be no expiation, there'll be no way out. It's permanent. But Allah is merciful that He did not make it permanent. He gave them an outlet or an exit. رحيم بهم أيضا حيث فاءوا إلى زوجاتهم. Also Allah is merciful to them because they returned to their wives and they showed mercy towards them and kindness. وإن عزموا الطلاق أي امتنعوا عن الفيئة فكان ذلك دليلا على رغبتهم عنهن وعدم إرادتهم لأزواجهم. If they refuse to return to their wives, this becomes an indication that they have no interest in them and they do not want them as wives anymore. وهذا لا يكون إلا عزما على الطلاق. This only happens when someone that wants to divorce his wife. He is no longer interested in her. فإن حصل هذا الحق الواجب منه مباشرة وإلا أجبره الحاكم عليه. If it comes from him, then this is what is right. If it doesn't, then the judge will impose this ruling upon him. أو قام به فإن الله سميع عليم. Verily Allah is all hearing, all knowing. فيه وعيد وتهديد لمن يحلف بهذا الحلف هذا الحلف ويقصد بذلك المضارة والمشاقة. And in that there's a huge threat from Allah Azza wa Jal and warning to the one who swears such an oath with the intent to harm his wife. And his intention is to put her in a state of difficulty. You know, it doesn't have a legitimate intention except to make life difficult for her. And Allah threatened this particular individual. ويستدل بهذه الآية على أن الإيلاء خاص بالزوجة لقوله من نسائهم. And there is an evidence that this is particular to the wives. What is excluded? If only the wives, what else can a Muslim man enjoy? Right hand possession, mulkul yameen, right? No? Well, we don't have him anymore, so brothers forgot. But this is in the Quran, this is in the Sunnah, it's all over the place. Right hand possession, a slave girl, after a battle between the Muslims and the disbelievers, the women folks who remain behind become the property of the Muslims, males that is, and then the Muslim male is allowed to have relations with this woman.
But it is applicable until now.
Yes, if Muslims were to go for jihad right now and defeat some country, yes.
And they can marry them or?
No marriage, that's why they call right hand possession. They have the right to have sexual relations with them. and they're not treated as wives. If she was to become pregnant and deliver a child, then upon delivering the child, she is set free, and she becomes called Ummu Walad. Right? She becomes. What is my force? Yes, by force. By force. Hey, this is the deen of Allah. See, here's what it is, man. Let me tell you something.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. If you find this weird, it's because we have been brainwashed since we were born by television and by Western human-made concepts that make us believe that this is unacceptable. But having a girlfriend is fine. Committing zina is fine. Sleeping with the secretary is fine. Looking at a strange woman is fine. Going out to a party with mixed crowd is fine. Right or wrong? This, you find nothing odd inside. Huh? Brainwashing. But when the deen of Allah, something in the deen of Allah, under strict, rulings, where there's no fornication, no adultery, nothing haram, this not an entertainment, we find something in our chest. Like, what? What is this? Why? How? It's because we are, we have been brainwashed. Now you see, back then, during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be it the Muslims or otherwise, this was the way. Historically, this was the way when tribes fought against one another, the ones who were victorious owned everything that the defeated people had. In fact, in previous times, slavery used to be if someone owed someone money and they were unable to pay them back, they were to become their slaves. Now these were things that existed historically. So we're not bringing this from our mind. Islamically, during the time of the Sahaba and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was the norm. This was the norm. The Persians and the Romans and everybody fought against one another. They had slaves working for them, and it was usually the war captives of the enemy, right? But now we have been brainwashed in these recent times into believing different things, so much so that our fitrah has been distorted. So when we hear something from the deen of Allah, it's like, what? We can't,
I hear conversation, argument regarding this, Saudi and one of the, he's Muslim converted, okay? And this verse, the right hand possesses, okay? He asked this guy, he asked the Saudi, that I don't know the situation, I did not see the opposite situation, but he said that he can go like what you said, okay, the woman is sexual intercourse, all the woman that is in hand possess. And then he asked again, including this housemaid.
Come on now, man. It's crazy, man. No, see, but
what is the answer of the Saudi?
Listen, Akhi, Saudi is not an angel whom Allah has sent down from the heavens. Saudi people are not necessarily the most Islamically educated people in the world. Most of what they do, which appears to be Islamic, is cultural at the end of the day. Yes, among them, the ulama, most of the ulama are from Saudi. But don't think the average Saudi working at a business, knows what's up. Some of them don't know the Fatiha. Some of them don't know Jack. They don't know anything, so we have to make a distinction. A maid is a free woman. Not only Islam does not allow you to have a relation with her, you're not allowed to look her in the face, which is another problem that they have here. They have a maid walking around. I teach privately, private tutoring for children at home, and there's the family, a maid naked, wearing tight pants, wearing regular, walking around the house. And the man is then flipping through the TV channel. I'm like, what is this, man? You're going to tell me this man doesn't look at this woman? Yeah, right. You're going to tell me, only my wife, I only see my wife? Come on, you're a man. There's a woman, naked, young, attractive. This is a fitna. So this is all nonsense, man. What the people do here, have a maid living with them in the house and going in and out and everything, is not allowed. You're not even allowed to look her in the face. I cannot speak to her like this. Say, go get me a cup of water, haram. Like this, I need a cup of water. Can't look her in the face. This is what Islam teaches, man. See how Islam protects the people. But when a kafir wants to fight a Muslim and wants to play games with us, and Allah gives us victory over them, then they will taste it. You see what I'm saying? Because the context is, these people are declaring war against Allah and His Messenger and His religion, and they want to spread mischief on earth and fornication and adultery and prostitution, and Islam does not allow any of that. So when Allah gave the believers what is legitimately theirs, right? So then it becomes halal, akhi. It's our right. It is a price for the mujahideen, for those who spend, those who they are risking their lives for the sake of Allah. They deserve these and more. And what is in Jannah is more. This is life. The basic idea of life, there's a believer whom Allah loves. Allah has created this whole world for the benefit of this believer. So He will bless him in his dunya, bless him in his faith, bless him in his physical body, bless him in everything, bless him in his death, and blessing him in the life to come. And the kafir is exactly the opposite. So we don't get shocked that Allah will give the believers such a privilege, because Allah loves the believers. And if He allows these wicked people to commit, have sexual relations in haram, then He will allow His righteous servants to have sexual relations in halal. You see what I'm saying? It's only a reward, you know? So you have to have this firm belief, and we can't be, you know, shaky about these things.
But we don't have a right now.
Huh?
So it is a
nowadays, yes. Now, before, slaves existed with or without jihad. So they were bought. They were bought. Today, in reality, slavery has been almost banished. It doesn't really exist. It may exist in some form or another. But today, this is only taking place through jihad. No woman can come and say, okay, I'm going to become a slave for you. Because I read this in the Saudi Gazette or something. Or some fatwa. That a guy got a maid, and they made an agreement. She said, you know what, I don't mind becoming your property. And he said, okay, then you are my property. And they started having relations. He said, oh, she's my slave. She's my right-hand position. Say, no. It has to be done through the Islamic way. Today, because the jihad has been set aside for whatever reason, and the Muslims are not fighting for their rights, so we have these issues. If the Muslims were to go back, and the Muslims will go back, inshallah, whether we get involved or not, into that early attitude which they had, and once Allah gives victory to the Muslims, then this will return. And if you love European women and the Muslims invade Europe, hey, receive glad tidings. Okay?
So we can respond to those who don't criticize this verse. We can tell them that it is only for if they abandon the jihad.
Yes, I mean, like I said,
we can respond to them like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, what we do, we are not afraid, nor are we scared, nor do we hide any teaching of Islam. All we do is use wisdom to convey this information to a non-Muslim who may be shocked in the beginning. However, we don't try to hide anything to please anyone, because they will discover sooner or later. Right? And that will be traumatizing for them. Someone is told Islam is peace, Islam is peace, Islam is peace, and then he comes into Islam and he starts hearing about jihad. And he says, hey man, they were lying to me the whole time. They told me there's no jihad. So what do you think? He will apostate. He will leave Islam. This is worse. Tell him the truth in the beginning. If he likes Islam, it's his victory anyways. He's the one gaining. We're not going to gain or lose anything. It's not our job to make people enter Islam. We just tell him the religion of Allah. Allah guides the people with everything that they dislike. Allah will guide them. Look at the woman. The most who embrace Islam are women. Even though she knows no more wearing skimpy clothes, she has to wear hijab, she can no longer have boyfriends. With all these prohibitions, a woman still enter into Islam in the thousands every day. Why? Because even though these things seem to be unappealing, they still, Allah guides the people to Islam. So the same thing, we tell them, this is the deen of Allah. Whoever has a problem with it, alaykum salam, has a problem with his Lord, on the day of judgment, complain. You don't like the ruling? On the day of judgment, complain to Allah and see what's going to happen to you.
Alaykum
salam. Nothing. You see what I'm saying? Is this issue clear though? Do you have anything in your heart still?
No.
Do we realize that we have been brainwashed by Western societies and Western media to believe that every haram is okay and everything which is God revealed is not allowed? Because we can go to the Bible, and in the Bible it says, in the Old Testament, in many different verses, that if someone curses mom or dad, he should be put to death. Killed. If someone had a bull, and his bull gored someone to death, then the person should be put to death. If your animal pulls a stunt, you are to be killed. If you don't keep the Sabbath, if you go working on Saturday, you are to be put to death. These are all in the Old Testament. So if a Christian is running his mouth, say, come here man, come here. You have a problem? This is what your book teaches. So what do you say that? Now if we were to go to court, any court in the world, and say, this man was working on Saturday, we should kill him, they will say, what this barbaric religion? What is this nonsense? Freedom of speech, freedom of batikh, freedom of watermelon, and then you can no longer get anything. Because they say freedom. But this is in the Old Testament, which is supposed, you can go to a Christian country. They will throw this ruling against the wall. Or any other ruling. Why? Because the secular individuals, and what they call Democrats or whatever, democracy, which has nothing to do with democracy, they have developed their own laws which oppose the revelation of Allah, whether it is the Old Testament, the New Testament, or the Quran. And they brainwash the people through rap and music and movies and everything to believe that this is the correct thing. So much so that when someone wants to bring a biblical verse or a Quranic verse, he is looked at as a maniac who's trying to establish some barbaric law in a civilized, you know, world. But it's the other way around. These are the uncivilized people who change the deen of Allah into whatever they think is right. For example, the age of adulthood, or the age where one may have sexual relations, it differs from a country to another. In the States, it's 18 years old. In Germany, I believe it's 14 or 16. And if you go to the different countries in the world, everyone has set a particular age for when a woman is supposed to be mature. So then, how do we make such distinctions here? Who is the best? Which one is the most adequate? Which one should we apply? Not fair. There's injustice. In Islam, it's been stipulated. 15 years old, or a dream, a wet dream, or pubic hair. And for the woman, a fourth one, her menstrual cycle. Whichever one comes first, this person is of age now. Age of this discretion, and they are able to make decisions, and they held accountable on the side of Allah. They don't have that. So then in one country, you have a man marries a woman who's 16 years old, he would be taken to prison for rape. And in another country, this is totally fine. These are the people, these are the, this is what the democracy is. And we've dealt with this before. Before, homosexuality, if you open the books of medicine, among the diseases was what? Homosexuality. And they had various treatments for homosexuality, psychic treatments and medicine and the different things. You know what happened today? In the same book, which is published either yearly or something along these lines, the word homosexual has been removed. You know what has replaced it? Homophobia. You! If you don't like homosexuals, you are sick. Before, they were sick people. It was an abomination against the Lord, right? Homosexuals were considered sick in the sight of the societies. Today, they took out homosexuality as a sickness and they replaced it with homophobia. What is homophobia? Not liking homosexuals. So now you, if you don't like gay people, you have a problem. Yeah, but what is this then? What is this?
Most of them even changed the word homosexual to gay. Gay.
It's happy. Hey, well, I don't know how happy they are, man, with the AIDS that is, eating them up, with the sickness and this filth they're upon, but at the end of the day, this is what it is. So this is democracy. One day homosexuality is a disease, the next day, if you don't like him, you are diseased. See, this is nonsense. So Islam then is the way of life. This is what we rely upon in order to be guided to the truth. Included in that is the right hand possession. Who is better, Allah or the people? Do you believe this is from Allah?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. So you'll be fine inshallah. Whatever you don't have understanding of, do as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, is to beg Allah to give him understanding of every matter of the deen. And we always go off the track here, as it is my habit. على كل حال نعم ويستدل بهذه الآية على أن الإله خاص بالزوجة لقوله من نسائهم. So then this is particular to wives, right hand possession not included. وعلى وجوب الوطء في كل أربعة أشهر مرة. And that it is an obligation on you to have sexual relations with your wife once every 4 months. Okay, this is if you really want to be yani stingy. Once every 4 months you must. We were not suggesting that you have that. We said this is the minimum required of you. You can do whatever you want. لأنه بعد الأربعة يجبر إما على الوطء أو على الطلاق. After four, you are either. طيب خلاص guys. Come on now, we're all grown up people here. After 4 months, you're either expected to have a relation or divorce. ولا يكون ذلك إلا لتركه واجبا. And you will not be forced to divorce someone unless you have left something which is obligatory. And with this, inshallah ta'ala, we conclude this dars. If you all remain alive till next week, بإذن الله عز وجل, we'll be dealing with verse 228. And still we're dealing with the context of divorce and women and so on and so forth. وآخر دعوة الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.